truly is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk about keeping in balance. In life, some of us can get focused on what we want, our dreams, our goals, and it begins to consume us. We're not going to be happy until that happens. If you've found something that you just have in order to be happy, I'm here today to tell you that you're out of balance. If you think you can't be happy until you find a husband, or you can't be happy until I get rid of this husband, you can't be happy until you get a bigger house, can't be happy until you get that promotion, here's the key. When our hopes and goals and dreams start to frustrate us, when we lose our peace and then stop enjoying life, it's a sign that we're holding on too tightly. The solution is to release it. Say, Krishna, I'm turning it over to you. You know what I want. The desires that are in me, you put them there. I'm not going to live frustrated because it hasn't happened in my way and on my time frame. If you're familiar with the great epic Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra doted on his criminal, evil-minded son, Duryodhana. Dhritarashtra loved Duryodhana more than anything in the world. And he wanted more than anything in the world to get Duryodhana on the throne illegally. He conspired, he schemed, he committed crimes. He dedicated his whole life promoting his son illegally over the righteous and pious Pandavas to the throne. If there was one thing, if you asked Dhritarashtra, what would you least like to happen in your life? He would say, I would like, the thing that I couldn't stand, the thing that I couldn't live without is my son, Duryodhana. And for him, I want ascendancy to the throne. His whole life he was demented, really, by trying to fulfill his son's criminal ambitions. Ironically, in his old age, after the Kurukshetra War, after his son had been killed in battle, it was then, only then, after what had been most dear to him had been forcibly taken away, that Dhritarashtra found peace and self-realization in his life. We need to be able to say, Lord, I'm trusting your plan, I'm trusting your timing, you know what's best for me. And even if it never ever happens, I'm still going to be happy and trust you. In other words, I want to attend this college, but if I don't get accepted, hey, I'm still going to be happy. I want to be married. All my friends from high school, they're all married, and I'm the only one that's not married, and I'm in my 30s, and I really got to get married. But in the meantime, I'm still going to enjoy my life. We need to show Krishna or God that we trust Him, that we're putting the control of our life in His capable hands, that we're not struggling to make things happen, that we're not forcing issues. I heard about a textile factory where threads were woven into fabrics. There was a sign above the machines. If the threads become tangled, call the foreman. Well, a new employee found the threads in her machine badly tangled, and she frantically tried to untangle them, made the situation worse, and got even more tangled. And the foreman sauntered by and said to her, "Why didn't you call for me?" And very defensively, she said, "Well, I was just trying to do my best." And very pointedly, the foreman said to her, "Doing your best includes calling the foreman." Sometimes Krishna will ask us to release something that means the most to us. Sometimes He'll ask us to put that very thing which is most dear to us and sacrifice it on the altar. And sometimes we need to do that in order to show Krishna that we don't need things in order to be happy. Maybe we're standing on a promise to get well after a long-standing chronic illness. But even if we don't get well, We're still going to have a smile on our face. We're still going to be good to people, and we're still going to stay in faith. We're going to, in other words, pass the tests. The test of not having it my way in order to be happy. I don't have to have the bigger house in order to be happy. The problem doesn't have to turn around before I decide to enjoy my life. Let me put it on the altar. Let me not let it frustrate me. Let it not steal my joy. Let me have the attitude, I've done everything that I reasonably, humanly can do. Now I'm going to let it go and leave the fruits, the results, whatever happens, up to you. Here's a quote from our scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, in regard to an ascetic named Kardama Muni who lived all alone in the forest with no income, dreadlocks, in a lonely place. His only wealth was the asceticism and the yoga that he practiced. At some point, after many, many years, he thought that if he had a nice Krishna-conscious wife, a yogini, to assist him, he would be able to make even more rapid spiritual advancement. But then he thought, what girl's going to want to marry me? You know, I have nothing, I have no dowry, not handsome, not even particularly young. And so he put the idea aside. Later on, the king of the world, Trayambhuva Manu, appeared out of nowhere at the yogi's ashram. The king bowed down before Kardama Muni. He said, you are the really, really wealthy person. Your wealth is imperishable. Your wealth is spiritual. I own land and subjects and armies, and I have treasuries. But all that's just temporary. It'll be gone in the click of a finger. So I defer to you. I bow down to you. And I ask you, would you be kind enough to accept the hand of my beautiful 16-year-old daughter in marriage? Interesting. Kardama Muni didn't break his yoga practice and go get a job or groom himself or find a matchmaker or join an internet dating site. He simply kept on doing what he was doing, which is developing his Krishna conscious or love of God, with faith that if Krishna wanted him to have a wife, that wife would come without any extra effort on his part. And Trayambhuva Manu, the king himself, said this verse to Kardama Muni, affirming the point I'm making. My dear Rishi, O leader, this is the king, referring to the sage as the leader of the living entities, that who sets an example how to use this life in order to get the greatest profit of immortal life in the next life. He says, for those who serve the Lord in devotion by worshiping him, especially persons like you who have given up everything, there is never any question of scarcity or frustration. What's my point? As long as we're trusting him, he will get us to where we're supposed to be. There's something immensely powerful about just turning it all over to Krishna. Don't miss the joy of each and every moment of your life just because something you wanted didn't turn out. Don't fight against and get aggravated every time something doesn't happen according to your plan. Put on your shoes of peace. When it's your due season and Krishna's ready to bring a dream to pass, no person, no sickness, no obstacle will be able to stop that from happening. In the other companion epic, there are two epics in Indian culture, the Mahabharata, and the other one is the Ramayana. In the Ramayana, Vali, the king of the monkeys, being intoxicated with his strength, it said that he had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He engaged in a combat with Sugriva, his brother. And as Vali was beating Sugriva, grievously beating him almost to death, Ram shot Vali, pierced his breast with an arrow, while Ram was hiding behind a tree. So Vali's lying there, complaining about how unfairly he was shot. He was ambushed. He was fighting someone else. Ram from behind a tree shot him. And in this way, he expired. His wife,
who had advised him all along against fighting Sugriva and going against the plan of Ram. And he wouldn't listen to her advice. And after he died, she was cradling his head in her arms, crying profusely. Ram went up to her and he said, "You did everything you could to guide him on the right path. And you set the perfect example. Now you have to let him go. Can't waste even another minute of your life because of his ill-advised choices. Now it's your life. Now it's your time. Get up and continue your life with joy and pursue your future with expectation." Dhirasthita namoyate. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, however many intoxicants and however many inducements and however many attachments that present themselves before us in this lifetime, we're all going to have to leave it at some point. And so the sooner that we become detached, the sooner we see everything with sobriety and objectivity, the better off that we'll be able to face the final test of death. And those who are mature spiritually have said that dhirasthita namoyate, the final change of body called death, is no more frustrating or daunting to them than the change of clothes. Because they know they're not the body. They're the spirit soul within the body. Change of body, which is described as death, is not at all traumatic to those who are self-realized soul. They are cool and calm and in fact excited and full of expectation that inasmuch as they have invested this life in Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, this voice, these ears, these nostrils, these hands, these eyes, in serving the Lord, they're excited about the future after the release of this present body. Life is all about letting go. Am I wrong? It's all about the art of letting go. And maybe there's people in your life who are holding your back. They're not destined to go where you're going. They're frustrating you. They're not changing. You need to be able to say, "Lord, I've done everything I can do for this person. I'm not going to get upset anymore. I know that only you can change people, so I'm going to come back to that place of peace." There's a freedom when you learn how to let go. I'm not saying to let go of your dreams and your promises, but I'm saying to let go of the worry, the frustration, knowing that Krishna God is in complete control. During the terrible days of the Blitz in England, I heard about a father who, holding his small son in his hand, ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole. Seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole, which was quite deep, and held up his arms for his son to follow. The boy was terrified. He couldn't see the father down in the darkness of the hole. All he could do was hear the father's voice telling him to jump. He said, "Dad, I can't see you." And the father said, "Son, that's not what is important. The important thing is that I can see you." And the boy jumped and trusted his father. And the father, of course, caught him. Krishna God is in your life working behind the scenes. Because you don't see anything, it doesn't mean that nothing's happened. That person that you're so worried about, your spouse, your children, and are off course, Krishna may have already, because of your good example and your chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You may not see it. There may not be any apparent superficial change in their activity, but because of your devotion and your love and your prayers for them, a seed may have already been planted. And it's only a matter of time before they turn their lives around. Right now, you're trying to force change. You're trying to make them change. You're trying to convince them to see it your way, and they're digging their heels in, and they absolutely will not do it. It's aggravating you. But life is too short to go around waiting to be happy, waiting for someone else to change. You need to learn to let it go. Make a decision to enjoy your life right now, right where you are. I heard about a man, 1920s or so. He had a talent for whitewater rafting, lived in Montana, loved nothing more than to go with his boat, go out into the streams and rivers of Montana and just raft. In 1924, it was certified as an Olympic sport. And he was qualified to go to Europe and compete. And he trained and he trained and he... But then he got married, he had a young son. He thought of the 6-week sea voyage to Europe, the training, and 6 weeks back. And even though it was his fondest dream, and it was what he felt God had created him for, he let it go in order to stay home, provide for his wife and his young son. That was in 1924. Son was born, grew up, got into his teen years, and lo and behold, the son became interested in whitewater rafting. The son loved nothing more than to go into the backwoods of Montana with his father. And the son became very expert. Son began to train. The son, in 1948, went and competed in the whitewater Olympics and won the gold medal. Just 24 years after his father let go of his dream, apparently, the son came back, gave the medal to his father, and he said, "Dad, here it is. I'm bringing your medal back to you." And can you imagine what that meant to the father? Can you imagine how much more relishable it was to receive that medal from his son? Good example. If you simply release it, let it go, and let Krishna do it his way, he'll come out with a better outcome than you could have ever imagined. In our lives, we may all have temporary setbacks. We may all be disappointed in the short term. In 1975, I was appointed the temple president in Berkeley, California, one of the major cities of America. Not just any city, really cool city. A lot of cool things happening. We had a beautiful temple there, which I just purchased. It was a former Mormon church. We had an annual festival of chariots in Golden Gate Park, which I assumed the organization of, and we built it up to 20,000 people. In 1978, the San Francisco Chronicle front page Monday mornings had 20,000 people attend Hare Krishna in Golden Gate Park. In 20, we built up to 120 devotees. We distributed about $1 million of Bhagavad Gita's a year. We bought a farm in Mendocino County. Everything was going great guns. There were some interreligious politics, and we were squeezed out. So in 1978, I was disappointed because I had thought that I would, my Bobby and I would spend our life in the San Francisco Bay Area. But I'm here now in 2016 telling you that I am no longer disappointed. Little did I know that Krishna had something so much more amazing and so much more fantastic in mind for me, that I just had to let that go and learn to trust him. Turn over the struggle, turn over the frustration. Anything that we have to have or that we're counting on having or that we're depending upon to show special mercy upon us, the Lord may withhold that or he may remove that so that we'll learn to trust not our own plans and our own abilities and our own efforts, but to trust him. One final story, famous story, again, back to the Mahabharata. There was a dice game. The evil Duryodhana, he succeeded actually in cheating the Pandavas of their kingdom with a crooked dice game. And at one point, it was thought that Duryodhana had won the common wife of the Pandavas, Draupadi. It was later reversed, but at one point, he thought that the wife of the Pandavas was his, one of the spoils of the dice game. He ordered Dusasana, his brother, to go into the woman's quarters and drag her by the hair out of the assembly of men and then to try to pull off her sari and make her naked in the public place. Put yourself in the place of Draupadi. Her husbands were the 5 most powerful warriors in the world at that time. They were sitting right there. And she was being insulted, harassed, humiliated. But because of the conditions of the game, they were prohibited from lifting even a finger. They just had to sit there. Can you imagine her frustration, her aggravation, Her anger, hey, you doofuses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, get up. You're sworn. You made a vow to protect me. What are you doing sitting there? I have a right because of my service to you and bearing your sons. I demand, and I have every right that you get up and you protect me from this. And they couldn't lift a finger. Frustrating, am I wrong? For a righteous wife, not one, but five husbands, bound by a promise. And as the sari kept coming off, she was holding it with two hands, but Dusasan was a much stronger warrior than her, so she was losing. He was pulling the sari. And then she thought she would do a partial release, a halfway release, and hold on with one hand, and with the other hand say, Krishna, save me. Krishna, save me. But that wasn't working either. And then finally, there was only one thing she could do, is release everything she knew, everything she was conditioned to, everything she had a right to, all the protection of her husband's and her own abilities. There was only one thing she could do, and she just released both hands and raised her hands in the air, and she said, Krishna, I can't do anything more. You protect me. At that point, unseen to anybody but Draupadi, Krishna appeared, and as much sorry as Dusasana is pulling off the one side, Krishna is smiling, turning it out on the other side, and went on and on and on and on and on and on. Finally, Dusasana couldn't go on any longer. He collapsed on the floor. And it was Krishna who had rescued her and saved her because she released it all to him. But in our lives, we also need to learn how to pattern our thinking. If it works out, great. But if not, it's no big deal. It's not the end of the world. If something doesn't work out that I would like, it just means that you have something better in store, and I'm going to stay in faith, and I'm going to enjoy the ride. I want you to go out of here today freer, lighter. Some of you are struggling so hard to make a dream come to pass, to make someone change. Here's a news flash. You're not God. That's not your job. Take the pressure off yourself. Krishna is running the universe, not you. And he's working behind the scenes. He already knows what you want. He already knows what your dreams are. He's the one that gave them to you. Now trust him with your life. Your future is in good hands. Your future is not in Allstate's hands, but your future is in the Almighty's hands. He knows what's best for you. He's already planned out a life of victory in your future. If you'll just learn to let go and let God, he will lead you and guide you down the best path for your life. You won't have to struggle to make or force things to happen. He will give you the desires of your heart and take you to the great places that he wants you to go.